Hello. Good evening, church. How are you doing tonight? I think I see a lot of new faces, so a special welcome to you. Let me take this time to introduce myself a little bit. So my name is Priscilla, and I'm studying theology at Regent College right now, and I'm also working here at Koinonia in youth ministry. So I'm the youth ministry coordinator here at this church. So to begin, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my church story. So I grew up as a fourth generation Christian. So that means my great grandfather and grandmother were Christians. And then so I grew up in a Christian home, and I have been going to church ever since I was in my mother's womb. And when my parents immigrated to Vancouver from Hong Kong, they came to an unfamiliar place with just four luggage, no relatives, and very minimal connections in Canada. And it was the church that helped them settle down and who supported my parents and even gave birth to me. So here I have a picture of the family doctor that is part of the church. Oh, right here. Yes. So you can see I had a lot of hair as a baby, but this is a family doctor that helped give birth to me. So as a kid, I was also really, really shy. And my mom told me that I don't really talk to people in person. And the only time you'll hear me talk for hours is on the phone. So next picture is here, I think I was three, talking on the phone. I could talk for hours on the phone, but never in person. I probably wouldn't respond if you talked to me in person. So because I was really, really shy. And I was talking to an auntie who was also part of the church, who also took the time to spend time talking to me, maybe once a week for maybe an hour or however long I decide to keep talking on the phone. And she was also one of the people that drove my parents to the hospital and witnessed my birth. Another point is churches are diverse but universal. So my church wasn't just in Vancouver. When my dad was studying in Regina in Saskatchewan, we attended a new church. And there I met an elderly lady who I soon called her grandma, even though we had no blood relation at all. And just by the name, you can see how close we were. And she would drive us to church and we would eat dim sum every Sunday. So, yeah, this is kind of her and her family. So this is kind of just me as a kid going, kind of like my church life. And as a kid, one of my favorite activities was going to lunch with the church, which is still true today. And when I was a year and a half old, I would never want to go home until we get dim sum. So I would drag my parents because we lived, I think, below a dim sum restaurant. So I would always drag them there and not leave until I get my dim sum. And my then favorite dish was chicken feet. So I don't know. I don't really like it now, but I don't know why I liked it back then. But it wasn't just the food that was appealing. It was being around the people and the time I got to spend with the family, the church family. And I also love when members of the church gather and potluck and just at my family's home. And I love the sound of chatter, just like laughter. And just most importantly, I love how we have prayer time all together at the very end of the night to send people off as a way of ending the night off. And through prayer, we got to encourage and support each other. So everything I mentioned above started when I was a little kid and still continues to happen today, even though COVID kind of put a little damper on it, but hopefully things are getting better. So for me, growing up, the church is part of my family and an important part of my life and identity, and also, as I mentioned, a significant part of my life. The church is basically my home. And I do want to make it clear that the church that I'm talking about isn't like the physical church building. It's the church, which is you, all of you here, and me, you and I. We, the people, are the church. So I think I skipped the slide before. You probably saw the question, but it was supposed to say, what brings you here tonight? So I don't know. Maybe you're here because you had to come early to serve, or you're here because friends invited you, or you were here to see friends. Or maybe you want to worship God and spend some time tonight to gather as the church and worship him. Or you simply just want to learn more about God. And also, it could also be because it's a habit, you've been going to church every day, every weekend. Or maybe even you were forced to come. Maybe you didn't want to be here, but your parents made you come here, or one of the circumstances made you come. I mean, there's a lot of different other options, but I'm just naming a few. So what I want to say is, no matter what your reasons are, I'm glad I brought all of you here tonight. And as we gather as one body in Christ, and before I begin, let us just bow our heads and pray together. Lord, thank you so much for bringing all of us here tonight, each one of us. We're here for a reason, Lord, and it is to worship you. And Lord, I just pray that you would grant me your words that come from you, to your daughter and your servant, me, Lord. And I just pray for open hearts, open ears, and just ears to hear, eyes to see what you are trying to say to us. May your spirit be alive and present in this room as we gather tonight. So Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From the previous week, we've learned that we are called to be witnesses of the church. And we saw how in the Apostles Peter's sermon, people were cut to the heart by the gospel and proclaimed that Jesus is Lord. So that's what we spent the last 2 weeks talking about as we started our study on the book of Acts. And we also learned that, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So suddenly, in just one day, 3,000 people suddenly joined the church. And it was originally 120 from the disciples, and suddenly it became 3,120 people in just one day. That's a lot of growth. And there were people that spoke different languages. They came from different places. Maybe they had different cultures. So imagine 3,000 people just gathered together, repenting, and also getting baptized and celebrating their baptism and just celebrating God and praising him. And then you kind of wonder, what happens to this group of people after? And who believe and follow Christ? What happens after? So in verse Acts 2:42, we see that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So the original 120 disciples taught the new 3,000 new believers what Christ modeled for community and how to fellowship with one another as a church, the one united body of Christ. And over an extended period of time, they all devoted themselves to four priorities: the apostles' teachings, fellowship, breaking of the bread, and prayer. So what is interesting is the use of the word devoted. The usage of devoted here notes that these believers gave their all or a large part of their time or resources to the four things mentioned here, bolded in red. So first, I'm going to briefly go over them. So first, we have the apostles' teaching. So basically, what did they teach? The gospel. The apostles' teaching is referred to the gospel, and the gospel is the good news of Christ, of Christ's incarnation, his atonement, how he died for all humanity's sins on the cross, and his resurrection that has defeated death and gives us new hope of eternal life to whoever believed in Christ. And because of the Holy Spirit's work through all of this, cutting to the heart of all who, through the apostles' teaching, the community had of believers had a common mission, a sense of urgency, and a common sense of identity. Next, we have fellowship. So fellowship in Greek is the word koinonia. It's also the name of our church. And it means generosity, sharing, and giving in active participation. And most importantly, koinonia involves love. We are no longer strangers to each other because we are united by the blood of Christ, connected by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are at one. So we are to love God with everything that we have, but also don't forget to love one another as we love ourselves. It's easier said than done, for sure. And that is how a Christian community is different than any of the communities out there, and it's also our love for God that enables us to love one another well. The believers were also breaking bread, and usually breaking bread has two different meanings. It could either mean communion, or it could mean to simply eating food together. And lastly, the believers prayed. So the believers met in small groups in the city of Jerusalem, and it was through prayer that they began to grow. They were ignited with excitement and passion and enthusiasm for the gospel, for Christ. And so prayer is powerful and essential to life as believers. So through these four priorities of the believers, they showed us the key characteristics of a church. And so what happens next? In Acts 2:43, we see that, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." So an awe, a fear, a reverence of God, of just a realization that his work was happening where they were at. And knowing that they are witnesses of the dawn of a new age. And it was intensified, the miracles that were done by the apostles. And then in Acts 2:44-45, we see that all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So the remarkable fellowship of the followers of Christ saw needs and filled those needs. And they loved and cared for each other because more important to them than things or their own comfort were each other. And they had appropriate love and compassion for one another. And they were motivated to willingly and freely give for the sake of others. And so in Acts 2:46, we see that, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. This was the result of the four priorities of devoting themselves to the four things we looked at." And just some historical context. Back then, status was really important. So then you don't really eat with people that were kind of below your status. So for example, Jews and Gentiles, slaves and masters, and maybe even women and men. And then Jews didn't interact with the Gentiles. Women were seen as lower class, and slaves were regarded as property of the master. So eating together requires accommodating each other's needs and just simply taste. And overall, these believers had a glad and generous heart that came from a posture of gratefulness. And that came from being rooted in Christ, united in Christ's blood. And so they were in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So the believers attracted attention of everyone around them and ignited a desire for others to join and learn more about God because of how different, how united, and how loving the fellowship of the church was. They were different, a good kind of different, and that was evident to those around them. So as Christians, we have a commitment to love one another, regardless of our positions, our levels of maturity, our status, or how long we've been believers. We have a role and duty to help one another grow toward greater spiritual maturity. And every congregation must commit to these godly priorities that further this purpose, just like the first church. And as we see, God's people take the initiative to love the community and serve those around them. And these 3,120 plus people were able to fellowship so well because they were able to be one. They were united because their lives were transformed by the gospel, and they had a burning desire to learn more about Jesus, his teaching, and follow in his commands. They had a common mission, identity, and urgency. They no longer live for themselves, but as one body, the body of Christ, for the one true living God who came and is coming back again soon. Especially today, as in our Western culture, we are driven to individualism and consumerism. We are taught to have things our way, to have what we like, to have our needs catered to, and if something's not to our liking, we simply just discard it, choose something else, we throw it out, and yeah, we just leave. We have an everything around of everything revolves around me mentality. And our culture kind of drives us to put our desires and put ourselves first almost as a god, to have our individual needs and rights come before anyone or any group's needs, or sometimes even God's will. Our culture has kind of taught us to become gods ourselves. We like having the choice to choose. We like having those things similar to us, our way of life, our culture, our background, our interests. And we don't usually mingle with those different from us, those with different interests. We like to hang out with people similar to us, people that we like and have similar opinions with. And we don't really like to serve. We like to be served. We like being in control, and we don't like things outside of our comfort zones or things that bring us inconvenience. We kind of want everyone to accommodate us most of the time, and we don't want to accommodate others. So how then did the first century church, 120 people plus 3,000 people in just one day, people from so diversely different cultures, social and economic backgrounds, join together so well as one community? And although we still gather as a community right now and fellowship together, what made them different from us today? Well, they fellowshiped well because Christ was at the center of everything that they did. Their lives now revolved around Jesus Christ. Their mission, identity, and urgency all stemmed from Christ being at the very center. Jesus was the only commonality they needed to fellowship with one another. It connected them to one another strongly over anything else, such as languages, status, life stages, and so on. And what was of utmost importance to them was the proclamation and wholehearted belief that Jesus is Lord and that he is returning soon to take them with him. And today, we still proclaim that Jesus is Lord, but why isn't our community, our fellowship of believers, like that of Acts 2? Well, answer is because we have other things that we also value almost or even as much as Jesus is Lord as criteria for who we welcome into our community, into our fellowship. And say, for when a newcomer joins worship, what's the first thing we usually do? Most of us probably judge them, maybe even act absentmindedly, of maybe their appearance, what they're wearing, and to obtain clues to who they might be and what interests they might have. And maybe someone in the community doesn't have the same political opinions as you do, and so what do? You don't really talk to them or interact with them. So for the 3,120 people, their commonality was that Jesus is Lord and that in Christ we are one body. His blood has united us all. Our mission, identity, and urgency have united us. That was it. And today we've added our own expectations and criteria on what makes our own communities. We add in social status, political views, life stages, just to name a few. We all have our own vision of what community should be, and that isn't a terrible thing to have, but when we can have our own vision of what a community should be, but if we love our own vision of community too much, then things can go wrong. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer says in Life Together, he who loves his dream of a community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter, even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial. And so when the early church said God cared, the care they gave demonstrated it. Their first Christian community put each other first and cared for each other's needs. They were a caring, generous, spiritually significant community because that was a reaction to the gospel of Christ. Their life as a community was their testimony. And the community of the church was a place of giving and contributing. And as we live in an individualistic and consumeristic culture, we like also to keep to ourselves more. We value our privacy. We don't enjoy being vulnerable most of the time or going out of our way to share or contribute or help. We value our own convenience, our own interests, our own living styles. But the Acts 2 church, they share everything, not just friendship. They were actually living life together. And when you live life together, you share. You are family. You are open. You are vulnerable. So what are we to do? Let us put off ourselves. And what do I mean by that? Let us all stop focusing on ourselves so much. We're so self-conscious. Even maybe during worship, we don't worship freely because we're self-conscious. So I challenge you, the next time together, as we gather as a church, I challenge you to not stick to people that you know. I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone to talk to someone new, to make conversation and have a conversation with them. So share about your struggles and accomplishments and let us all walk in this faith journey together as one in Christ. Because what connects us together is our proclamation that Jesus is Lord, is the Holy Spirit that cultivates in us the ability to let go of ourselves, to stop looking only inwards at only ourselves in our own life and start to see what God sees, what God hears, and start caring for others to see the importance of an embodied community, a fellowship of believers worshiping the one true Almighty God. I know we all know living in community isn't easy. We are all human beings, and none of us are perfect. We are all sinful. We all make mistakes, and we all hurt and hurt others. And that is why we need the Holy Spirit. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that fosters community. We will fail solely on our own abilities. That is why we need God's word, his teachings. We need fellowship. We need the church and breaking of bread and prayer. We need the church community because this is where we all learn to become better imitators of Jesus Christ, a place where we can keep each other accountable, where we learn to love, care, forgive, listen, serve, and grow as one body united in Jesus Christ. The church began about 2,000 years ago. Although culture, lifestyle, and norms have changed, one thing still remains true over all these years, and that is Jesus is Lord, and he is coming back soon. And these believers fellowshiped so well because they were all in. They were all in devoted to learning, discovering, and going deeper into their relationship with God, not just alone, but together as a community, as a whole. The gospel changed their lives. It transformed them. In the same way, today, as followers of Christ, we also have been transformed by the gospel, and we also look forward to Jesus coming. So as Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's been over 2,000 years now, and Christ's return is now nearer than ever, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his book Life in Community says, so between the death of Christ and the last day, it is only by gracious anticipation of the last things that Christians are privileged to live in invisible fellowship with other Christians. It is by the grace of God that a congregation is permitted to gather visibly in this world to share God's word and sacrament. Not all Christians receive this blessing. The imprisoned, the sick, the scattered lonely, the proclaimers of the gospel in the heathen lands stand alone. They know that a visible fellowship is truly a blessing. And as human beings, we tend to take a lot of things for granted. We don't really cherish most of the things that we see, we have until they're gone or taken away. Such as COVID, we weren't able to gather in person. And who knew? I never knew that church. One day we wouldn't be able to go to church, but only have church online. So who knows? Life is constantly changing. There are new things. So let us all cherish the time that we have together as a community worshiping God. And so, although gathering in person with others and welcoming new people into your community may not be the most comfortable thing for you, or you might be the new person, like, don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone. Or if you're serving in a new position and needing to arrive early to help, or just coming every week is a struggle, we know our efforts is not in vain. Because God is working. His Holy Spirit is working among us. And he is wanting to work through you, each one of us, and others around you to bring more people to himself, to bring them salvation, the good news, to all, even right now. So what brings you here tonight? Whatever your reasons are, we can all say that today, one of your reasons for being here is so that we can gather into community and learn to do what the Acts 2 church did. So let me just wrap us up in prayer. So let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, the fellowship of the church is a gift, is a blessing from you that you've given us to be able to be with one another, to have a family outside of our own blood family. So Lord, I just pray that you would move in our hearts, ignite something in us that wants us to step out of our comfort zone, to talk to someone, to push past our comfort zone and just really live out the gospel so that we can influence and we can be different. We can be a community of love, of unity, and just centered on you, Jesus. So Lord, I just pray you give us the courage to live out your word, Lord. It's never easy. So Lord, I just pray that you give us the courage that comes from you. And also just give us this hope that we have that we are one united in you, and that the church is just a glimpse of what heaven will be like when we all gathered one day together in your presence and we worship and praise you. So Lord, I just pray this image, just give us the courage and hope to do and live out the gospel. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.